Okay, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to once again Fire Shuffling My Bones. Okay, Revival Fires, I like calling it. Darren called it Fire Shuffling My Bones. And today, praise the Lord, we're here once again. I'm going to do a series of study on raising our sons for the Lord, or you can also say raising a family. It's different for me to talk about raising your daughters because it's basically the same method. You know, look at, but girls tend to be different, and I don't have any daughters. Okay. But I do have sons. I have two boys that the Lord helped me to raise, and they're turning out well for the Lord. I give him God the glory for that. I couldn't have done it without the Lord. And I let you all know it's all about prayer, praying for your family, and also setting a godly example. Let me give a little bit of my testimony. I was never raised in a Christian home with a righteous dad, a God-fearing dad. My dad was wicked, or is wicked because he's still alive as far as I know. I didn't have a good father and son relationship with my dad. My dad did not live a decent life in our presence. My daddy is a reprobate. I'm not proud of saying this. I'm just telling you the truth. Based on what I saw in my family coming up, I made a promise to my grandmother that I would not raise my family with my dad. Raising us and treating us, but I'm going to be honest with you, I could not have accomplished that without the fact that I am first have a walk with God. Is being saved is what I'm talking about. I got saved at the age of 19 years old while attending an independent fundamental Baptist church, and throughout the years when I attended that church. That's where my sons grew up, okay? And before I even start having a family, one thing that every pastor should be doing on a time-to-time basis is mention how you're supposed to treat your family, how men are supposed to raise their family, how men are supposed to be men in the home, and how men is supposed to, if you're going to be a godly daddy, you better have a strong Bible-based life, being in church when church doors are open, and I'm talking about Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night, and live a God-fearing life before your sons. And by the way, also when your sons are not in your presence, you live a godly life, having a testimony for the Lord, having a testimony in front of your sons. That is very important, okay? And so that was it. That was it. So when my wife, one day my wife came home, I met my wife while serving in the military in the Philippines. That's where I met that fine young lady. And today, 32 years later, we're still married. We just celebrated our 32nd wedding anniversary back in June 21st. Okay? And I decided that it's time for me to get out after my time in the Marine Corps was up. I decided not to re-enlist it. Because I decided that I want to raise my family in church, okay? And that's what I did. I didn't know, to be honest with you, I didn't know if I was making the right decision getting out, but I figured the Lord can provide. And now I'm a registered cardiac sonographer working at a prestigious hospital, making a decent living for myself and my family. Like I said, over the years, I sat right there in the pews at Woodlawn Baptist Church, and from the pulpit, our pastor taught us how to raise our family. Unfortunately, I'm going to say this, I don't know, care who get offended, there are some people that forgot those teachings. Amen? There are some people that forgot those teachings. I don't know what happened to them. They backslid along the way, and those families are not in church today anywhere. Okay? But I was determined that I'm going to raise my family for the Lord. And one of the first thing I did, I start on a regular basis, read my Bible, promise the Lord, I got out of the service, and that's what I did. I read my Bible. I work as a security guard at night before I got the job I'm doing, and I took my Bible with me. And when nobody's around, sitting around that desk, I bathe myself in the scriptures.
Amen.
Okay? That's exactly what I did. And when I was attending for a short period of time, Montgomery College, my wife came back from the doctor and said, yep, with this, the pictures of the sonogram saying that, yep, she's pregnant. And I was speechless all the way home. And the first thing I did, I got home, and we lived in that one-bedroom apartment. I went to the bedroom, and there I knelt near the bed, because that's my prayer place, you know, right near my bed. Now I have a bigger house. Now I go into an empty room, and that's where I kneel down in the presence of the Lord, worship and pray for my family. And before my sons were born, my first one, Darian, I prayed. I said, God, I need wisdom, because I don't know what it's how it is to be a daddy, because my daddy was never an example to me as how to be a proper dad. I said, so Lord, I'm going to need your help. Okay. I pray that she had a healthy labor, healthy birth, healthy son. And I asked the Lord for wisdom. Well, let me show you something that the Lord showed me. And during my devotion, this is where I went. Now, I'm going to show you something in the book of Samuel, 1 Samuel, okay, chapter 1. And this is about a lady named Hannah, who the Lord shut up her womb, and she could not give birth. Let me read from 1 Samuel chapter 10. Okay, 1 Samuel chapter 1, starting from verse 9. And so Hannah rose up after they had eaten in Shiloh, and after they had drunk. Now Eli the priest sat upon a seat by a post of the temple of the Lord. And she was in bitterness of soul and prayed unto the Lord and wept sore. And she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thy handmaid and remember me and not forget thine handmaid, but wilt give unto thine handmaid a man-child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. And it came to pass, as she continued praying before the Lord, that Eli marked her mouth. Now Hannah, she spake in her heart only, her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore Eli thought she had been drunken. And Eli said unto her, how long wilt thou be drunken? Put away that wine from thee. Now listen to the response of Hannah. And Hannah answered and said, no, my Lord, I am a woman of sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord. And here was Hannah's response. Count not thine handmaid for a daughter of Belial. Okay? For out of the abundance of my complaint and grief have I spoke unto thereunto. Okay, now, you notice her respond about being drunk. She said, I'm not a daughter of the devil. Do not call me and accuse me of being drunk. I want to park there for a minute, how the association here in the scriptures of being a drunkard to be that a daughter or a son of the devil. So therefore, as an example right there, in my honest opinion, from what I get from scriptures about drinking. Okay? And let you all think about that for a while. And then Eli answered and said, go in peace, and God of Israel grant thee thy petition that thou shalt ask of him. Now, you notice that Hannah, here in the Bible, she didn't have, her womb was shut up. She didn't have a baby at first, because the Bible said the Lord shut up her womb. She wasn't able to have a baby. And now that she promised the Lord that when she had this child, she would turn this child over to the Lord. And that was the first thing, and I think that's what some Christian, I'm talking about Christian men that are saved, men that are in church, men that knows the Lord, when you have your children, do you offer them up to the Lord?
Amen.
Do you give them over to the Lord for the Lord to guide their growth, to guide your spiritual growth, and that the Lord will have free liberty as to call them into full-time service or at least living a holy life before the Lord, that the Lord will influence them. And you're not going to get them to be influenced unless you bring your children to church. Now drop down to verse 15. I'm going to go down to verse 27. Okay. For this child I prayed, and the Lord had given me my petition, which I ask him. Therefore also, listen to it, I've sent him, lent him to the Lord as long as he liveth. He shall be lent to the Lord, and he worshiped the Lord there. You know what she's saying? In other words, she when the child grew, sought to be weaned, he gave the Lord over into the temple, and that's where the kid grew up. Now look at me also in verse 27 to 28 again. For the child, start from 24. And when she had weaned him, she took him up with her with three bullocks and one ephah of flour and a bottle of wine, and she brought him, hey, somebody going to jump and say, there she has your wine. Now, it's grape juice.
Amen.
Okay? A bottle of wine and brought him unto the house of the Lord in Shiloh, and the child was young. Okay? Hey, guys, when your child is young, when you know the child is, matter of fact, you should be in church.
Amen.
My sons always brag that ever since they were in their mother's womb, they were in church. Okay? There are times when the boys said that when they were in diaper, they were in church. All they knew was in church. And let me tell you something. It makes no sense that you take a child to church and they don't know the Lord.
Amen.
They should be learning about the Lord from their home. When your child goes to church, when they start come of understanding, I always like to tell people that should be repeat message.
Amen.
Okay? They shouldn't be hearing certain things in church for the first time. Okay? And look at this. She said, and when she had weaned him, she took him up with her and with three bullocks and one ephah of flour and a bottle of wine and brought him unto the house of the Lord in Shiloh, and the child was young. And they slew a bullock and brought the child to Eli. And she said, O my Lord, as the thy soul liveth, my Lord, I am the woman that stood by thee here praying unto the Lord. She's reminding Eli that she was the same woman 9 months ago, you know, some months ago. For this child I prayed, and the Lord had given me my petition, which I asked of him. Therefore also I have lent him to the Lord as long as he liveth, and he shall be lent to the Lord, and he worshiped the Lord there. In other words, she said, my child is going to be growing here, and he's going to worship here. She gave her son fully over to the Lord. Let me ask you this question, gentlemen, daddies. Are you giving your sons over to the Lord? That's something I did when my son was a little baby in the crib. Both my sons. Amen? And that's something I prayed about. And by the way, are you praying for your sons to grow up into the Lord? Are you praying for your child's salvation? Are you praying that your child, that your son, come to love the Lord and worship the Lord and live for the Lord as long as they live? Are you praying that? Are you praying that your boys don't become deceived by the world? Are you praying that the Lord protect your sons from being deceived from other so-called Christians?
Right.
Are you going to the Lord on your knees before the Lord night and day with tears in your eyes, heartbroken over your son? Hey, don't wait for your child to turn it wrong. Don't wait for your child to see a little bit of rebellion. Pray to the Lord about it. It takes prayer, gentlemen, night and day, without letting up. It's a battle. The Lord talks about that the devil's a roaring lion, going about seeking to devour. Let me tell you something. The devil's a roaring lion, going about to seek in which family he can destroy. And I think, unfortunately, in some cases, he's been successful. Because some of us is letting our guard down. Therefore, also, I have lent him unto the Lord, and as long as he liveth, he shall be lent to the Lord, and he worshiped the Lord there. Now, the next thing that helped me out, look at 1 Samuel chapter 2, okay? Here, she gave her son over to the Lord, okay? And the Lord is going to use Samuel, okay? Let's go to 1 Samuel chapter 2 and verse 12. Now, the thing that really scared me when I asked the Lord, when I prayed about raising my family for the Lord, okay? There's something in the same path in the book of Samuel that scared me, okay? And I'm going to show y'all what scared me in scriptures and what did the Lord expect of us, okay? And by the way, if you call yourself called to preach, or you call yourself a pastor and you have children and your children are out of control, there's something wrong with that. Mm-hmm. The Bible talks about that. If you can't control your family, your sons, your wife, let me tell you something. I'm being careful about this. You shouldn't be preaching. I'm talking Bible. Okay? I'm talking Bible. 1 Samuel chapter 2. And verse 12. Listen to this. Now, this is Eli's kids, his sons. Now, the sons of Eli were sons of Belial. Okay? That's the devil. They knew not the Lord. And the priest's custom with the people was that when any man offered sacrifice, the priest's servant came while the flesh was in seething with a flesh hook of 3 teeth in his hand. And he struck it onto the pan or kettle or cauldron or pot, all that the flesh hook brought up. The priest took it for himself. So they did in Shiloh unto all the Israelites that came hither. Okay, they were stealing the sacrifice. Okay, and also therefore they burnt the fat. The priest's servant came and said unto the man that sacrificed, give flesh to roast for the priest, for they will not have sudden flesh of thee, but raw. Okay, I'm alluding to something here. Look at verse 17. Therefore, the sin of the young men were very great before the Lord, for men abhor the offering of the Lord. Okay, good. Let's look at chapter 3. Let me show you something. And the Lord came unto Eli. Look what he said. Lord said to Samuel, behold, I will do a thing. Okay, let me read verse 1. First John chapter 3, verse 1. And the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli, and the word of the Lord was precious in those days. There was no open vision. Okay, the word of the Lord should be precious in our home. The word of God should be precious in our home. Let me get a bit of water from it. And it came to pass that time when Eli was laid down in his place and his eyes began to wax dim that he could not see. And ere the lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was, and Samuel was laid down to sleep. Then the Lord called Samuel and he answered, here am I. And he ran unto Eli. Thank you. And he ran unto Eli and said, here am I, Lord, for thou callest me. And he said, I called not. Lie down again. And he went and laid down. And the Lord called yet again Samuel. And Samuel rose up and went to Eli and said, here am I, for thou didst call me. And he answered and called not, my son. Lie down again. Someone once told me that around this time, Eli was about 9 years old. I mean, Samuel was about 9 years old. Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed unto him. Okay? And the Lord called Samuel again the third time, and he rose and went to Eli and said, here am I, for thou hast did call me. And Eli perceived that the Lord had called the child. Therefore Eli said unto Samuel, go lie down, and it shall be, if he call thee, that thou shalt say, speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. So Samuel went and lay down in his place. And the Lord came and stood and called as other times, Samuel, Samuel. Then Samuel answered, speak, for thy servant heareth. And the Lord said to Samuel, behold, I will do a thing in Israel, at which both the ears of everyone that heareth it shall tinkle. In that day I will perform against Eli all things which I have spoken concerning his house, when I begot, and I will also make an end. For I have told him that I will judge his house forever for the iniquity which he knoweth, because his sons made themselves vile, and he restrained them not. Now, this is the passage I read when I asked the Lord to help me raise my sons. And this is the part that I saw, and he jumped out at me. That I do believe when a man have sons that are in his home and they are not doing right, I'm not talking about when they become a responsible adult out on their own. That's a different matter. I'm talking when they're in your house, when they're growing up in your house, and they know better, and they decide that they want to be rebellious in your house. Your young men, your young teenagers, and you know about their wickedness, and you do not correct them, I do believe the Lord will judge you. Mm-hmm. It's an example right here. And I shudder at the mere thought that my sons in my presence might do something wrong when they were growing up in our home, disrespecting their mother, and I do nothing about it. Disrespecting people at church, and I do nothing about it. They're out in the neighborhood misbehaving and carrying on, and I know about it, and I do nothing about it. And yet you call yourself a Christian. You call yourself a pastor. You call yourself a born-again, bad-believing Christian. Your neighborhood see you pick up the Bible, get in your car, and go and drive to church, and you drive back. They see this day in and day out, every Sunday morning, every Sunday night, every Wednesday night. And then you go to the neighborhood inviting people to church, and you have a bus ministry. And you know that your sons are not living right, and you do not correct your son. I do believe the Lord will judge you for that. Amen. Okay? And therefore, I have sworn unto the house of Eli that the iniquity of Eli's house shall not be purged with sacrifice nor offerings forever. Hey, the Lord said, I don't want his sacrifice. I don't want his offerings. The Lord said, I'm going to judge them. Not to make a long story short, they went to war, and his two boys were killed. Mm-hmm. Later, Eli fell down and broke his neck. That was the end of that family. And Samuel lay until the morning and opened the doors of the house of the Lord. And Samuel feared to show Eli the vision. Then Eli called Samuel and said, Samuel, my son. And he answered, here am I. Okay, that's where I'm going to stop reading that part. But I do believe that our responsibility of Christian men to raise our sons for the Lord and to restrain and correct our boys. I'm talking of emphasis. I do believe that the same thing goes for girls, but girls are a little bit different in raising. I leave that to men who have daughters that raise daughters and mothers that knows how to raise their daughter, teach other young ladies, young mothers, how to properly raise their daughters. Okay? Look with me over in Proverbs chapter 22. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. That's Proverbs chapter 22, verse 6, and I do believe that. But I didn't ask Walter, what about some kids that turn bad? I honestly don't know what the answer to that, but I do believe what the scripture said. Train up a child the way he should go, when he's old, not depart from it. The question is, are you raising your child for the Lord? Mm-hmm. Are you raising them up the way they should go? Okay, and some people think that bringing the kids to church, that raises them the way they should go. Being in a house, I never mentioned scriptures to the Lord about the scriptures. You're not raising them up the way they should go. If you leave them by themselves doing homeschooling time and not spending time with them, and interact with them during their homeschooling time. In your session, especially when you come home from work, mm-hmm. You're not raising them the way they should go. Amen. You're leaving them to themselves. Okay? A child left to himself will bring his mother to shame. What am I saying? I'm saying this. You teach your children the Bible at home before they go to church. When they go to church, it should be repeat message. Okay? Now, the question is this. Are you enthused about going to church?
Amen.
Are you miserable when you're going to church? Did your kids see that going to church
is only a religious act or something that you are excited about.
Amen.
When you're in church, are you excited to be in church to hear message from the Lord? On the way home, do you discuss what was taught from the pulpit? Are you excited? Does your son see the excitement in you about the Lord? And you might have said, oh, is that possible? Then ask yourself this question. How is it that if you're a Redskins fan, are you a Dallas Cowboy fan? Are you a Pittsburgh Steelers fan? Okay. You might have your favorite football team and your entire sons. If you have five sons, six sons, seven sons, I have seven sons are Dallas Cowboy fan. If you are a New York Knicks fan in basketball, the entire family is New York Knicks fan. Kids are so excited about the ball team, whether it's a baseball team, that they know everything about the players. Okay? How many players are in the basketball team? I don't even know because I don't pay attention to basketball. They say, for example, there's about eight players in a basketball team. Your sons know all eight players. Your sons know all about all the eight players that went to the championship 10, 15 years ago. Why is that? Because you taught them that, right? Now, and you're all excited about when it's time to watch the ball game, everybody's in the house going crazy. Are you crazy enough also to go to church and hear the man of God preach?
Amen.
Train up a child the way he should go. Are you training them up the way he should go? Are you training them up to be sports fans more than you training them up to be ball players?
Amen.
Let me tell you something. Maybe it's a good thing that I wasn't much of a basketball fan or a football fan. I'm more of a track fan, and they all show that on TV. But I tell you what, my boys and I were preachers fan.
Amen.
Amen. We look forward to go to hear where the preacher teach. Okay? We get excited when it's time to go somewhere to hear some man of God preach. Let me tell you something. When we go on vacation, we plan our vacation around a good church to hear the man of God preach and to be around other Christians. So I do believe that's why you can make your child be fanatics about a certain ball team. I do believe you can make your sons become fanatics about the preachers, the men of God.
Amen.
Okay? When we go to church and we see a guest preacher, I say, go shake that man's hand. Mm-hmm. Hey, make friends with his kid because these missionary kids don't have American kids hanging around. Go make friends with your kids. That's how you teach your sons.
Right.
Okay? I'm not bragging. I'm just giving God the glory. Okay? And I thank the Lord to use me to get on this podcast to set the word out there. I said, look, you can raise your sons for the Lord.
Amen.
I do believe that. Okay? And the next thing too, if Darren permit me also, you need to discipline your kids. Spanking is a command of God.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're going to be lenient about disciplining your kids, not correcting them harshly when they are being rebellious, because you know what the problem with some of us? We forget that our sons, as soon as they're born, they're wicked sinners.
Mm-hmm.
Hear what I said? When your child is born, they look nice and cute, their baby crying and all that, and mom and everybody is heartbroken around them. But let me tell you something. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, that kid was born a wicked sinner. Brother Jackal said this. He said, if that child that when he was first born was as strong as his mother, he probably killed the mother within 2 months.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Because that kid is wicked. And you don't need to teach your child how to be disobedient. They're going to figure out how to be disobedient because they're wicked. Okay? And when you realize, and the sooner you realize that child is wicked, the child is going to learn to be wicked until that child gets saved and live for the Lord. Let me tell you something that's going to happen. You better start learning to spank your child and do not withhold correction from your child. If you are withholding correction from your child, you're being disobedient. And I'm going to leave it at that. And I'm going to continue next week on this message, raising up your child for the Lord. I don't want to go long. 30 minutes. Good. Okay, that's it, gentlemen, ladies and gentlemen, if you're listening. And I pray that be a blessing to somebody, somehow, somewhere along the line. And it's all about passing on my experience and teaching other people out there, other Christians, about raising your kid. Because I do believe today it's going to be more, even more difficult in this sinful, wicked world we're living in. I'm telling you right now, I'm going to tell you something before I go off the air. I think you should, if you're not sending your kids to a good Christian school, if it's church as an academy, send your kids to the academy. And if you can't afford to send them to the academy, homeschool your kids. You can't have your kids going to these cesspools that they call God-hating institutions they call schools. If you do, don't tell me you love your child.
Amen.
Okay, that's it. Who's listening?